Thank you. I know what I'm about to say. I know that I've said this before, but there is really one thing that sets the Bible apart from all other nonfiction pieces of literature. And it's the fact that the Bible is very transparent. It's the fact that the Bible is very, very honest. Even though the sort of properties, I guess, or the things that we see in there that are honest and transparent, even though they may many times lead the readers to ridicule what's in the Bible or to give negative responses to what they're reading. Other books tend to romanticize the characters in the books, especially when they're historical accounts. How many times have we read about people that lived years before and we hear all the good things about them and the wonderful things about them, and then all of a sudden the truth comes out about what their life was really like and some of the things in their life that we just didn't get a chance to read about, because many times historical books, sometimes even autobiographies, will sort of romanticize these things. And certainly Hollywood, when they have movies about someone that lived in the past, certainly they really romanticize the person, and they have all these wonderful things about the person, but they selectively lead out many negative things. But we don't see that in the Bible. It is this honesty and transparency that really should speak to each and every one of us for the better understanding of who we are and who God is. You see, so it gives us a wonderful opportunity to learn from the mistakes of people, to learn from the hardships of people, to learn from the situations, and in a sense, to some people, the defects of those people. And I think this is one of the reasons, I'm going to go into the Haftarah portion in just a minute, but we read about those opening Torah verses about the red heifer, and it shouldn't have any defects to use the red heifer, and no defects. And also, by extension, we know that Yeshua Messiah was the perfect sacrifice because he had no sin in his life. He was the only man that had no sin in his life, and he was the only man that perfectly followed Torah and perfectly followed all of God's statutes and commandments. And so this is the connection, I believe, one of the connections between the Torah portion and our Haftarah portion this week, because it talks about, it opens really about a very important defect. And so I want to look at a person as we open that. So let's go to Judges 11 in the first few verses this morning. You'll see what I mean. Yaftach is, we read in English, Jephthah. The Gilead was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begot Yaftach. Gilead's wife bore sons, and when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Yaftach out and said to him, "You shall have no inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." So here is this scenario. Yaftach is an illegitimate child. He is born from a prostitute. He is the result of his father's sin. in having a relationship with a prostitute outside of his marriage. And then Gilead brings Yiftach home to be with his wife and his other kids. But, and probably because Gilead dies, Gilead's wife and sons refuse to take him into the family, so to speak. They reject him, and they cut him out of the family inheritance. And then, once Gilead dies, there's no one to defend Yiftach. And so here we have this man, young man, and he is in this situation. Now, this is one of the commandments of Torah. And let's go to Deuteronomy and we'll read what puts him in a certain situation here. One of legitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. So if you are in the situation like Yiftach, you are illegitimate. You are not only was he driven out of the family, but he was looked at by the entire society, by the entire assembly of Israel, as being rejected. And so he has sort of this double whammy here. Okay, so let's go back to Judges here for just one verse. 11:3 do we have on there? No? Oh, Lord. Okay. Well, then I'm going to hold. Give me a second. She's got a tab. I don't know how to use one of these things. It keeps flipping on me. Okay. You swipe it down. Okay. So Yiftach fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tov. Worthless fellows gathered themselves about him, and they went out with him. He fled from his brothers, went into the land of Tov, and worthless fellows gathered themselves about him. Thanks, Diana. I think I have all my other scriptures there. So it's not surprising, because of his rejection from his family and from society, that he becomes very rebellious. And then he ends up with worthless crooks and bad people. You know, this happens so many times with younger people. They think they're hurting everyone else, but they're just hurting themselves. And so when they get rebellious, they connect themselves with bad people. And they start doing bad things. And they don't realize it's only going to hurt themselves. In the long run, that's what's going on. But that's what we all have that tendency to do. And so, but the enemy of Israel started, they made war on Israel. And the elders of Israel sent for Yiftach. Because what happened was, he got sort of a reputation as being a bad boy and a great warrior in looting and doing bad stuff. And so the elders said, we need someone to lead us. What are we going to do? Our enemies are coming against us. And so they say, let's send for this bad boy. Because he knows how to war. He knows how to do this stuff. And so, miraculously enough, it's really what it is it's God's grace in his life, and he doesn't even realize it. So the elders come to him, and they send for him to be a part of leading the armies. And so the story goes on to tell us that he reconnects with his family and he reconnects with the people of Israel. And it's a good story. But it's a story about a man who was flawed. And because of one of the laws in Torah, he is not allowed to be a part of Israel. Now, so what we see is something happens in his life, and he is now allowed to be a part of Israel. Well, let's make this connection this morning for each and every one of us. We are all flawed. Each and every one of us, no matter how good we look on the outside, no matter how good we are as a person, no matter how many good things we do, the reality is, in some way, we are all flawed. I keep wanting to say floored. But it's flawed with a W. And so the thing is, even if we're looking at the sin, the original sin, from our fathers and father and mother, Adam and Eve, way back even more than 10 generations, we have that in our DNA. And so we are all flawed, each and every one of us. We have all had failures in our lives. Forget about the original sin. Let's just look at our lives and what we've done in our lives. We have all done things and we've all tried to do things and we have all experienced failure in our lives. We all have some kind of perfection in our lives. There's a perfection in us. There's perfection in our bodies. We are not perfect physically, even. We are some of us are in situations where the flaws were given to us because of our parents, because of our upbringing. Some of us, it's not under our control. Yiftach, it wasn't under his control. Could he help it that he was the son of a prostitute? No. He couldn't help that. Now, the choice that he made later on in his rebellion, that was up to him totally. They might have driven him out, but what he did with his life after that was totally up to what he chose to do. And so Yiftach had no say in these things. But there was a point in his life that he could make choices. But here's the real good news, that the flaws or the failures that we have in our lives don't ultimately define us, especially in God's eyes. Now, there may be people that will constantly try to define you as what you did 20 years ago. There are people that'll do that. But in God's eyes, and the reality is, what does it matter what men think? What matters is what God thinks about us. He knows that we are flawed. But in God's eyes, he sees us, and he looks at our lives, and he looks at our hearts, and he looks at what we are doing now, and he looks at what we did before. And it's seeing us in a totally different way, the way man may see this. So our flaws don't ultimately define us. And hopefully, even in society, they don't define us as a people. It is our faith that defines us. We need to understand that. It is our faith. That's what defines us in God's eyes. Are we faithful? Have we come to accept him as our God? Have we come to accept Yeshua as our Messiah? It's the faith that defines us. Our faith in God or Messiah changes everything in our lives. And we need to constantly remember that, because we are all going to fail doing things, trying to do things with our family, with our work, with our in our personal life. We will fail. There will be flaws that go on in our lives. We are not perfect. And so we will fail. And we need to constantly remember this, that it is those things don't define us. It's our faith that ultimately defines each and every one of us. Can we understand that? We all come to God with the past. And I know that, you know, look, we talk about this every once in a while in messages because it is the truth. We all come to God. We all have our past. Even people, you know, we'll say, oh, look at that person. They've always been so good, such goody two shoes. You know, right? Oh, they're always so good. They could have never done anything bad in their life. You know what? You start talking, you start looking, you start asking, you interviewing, whatever. When people start talking about their lives, you find out there's a little bit of here and a little bit of there. And sometimes the things are a little shocking what you find out about people's lives. But because the reality is we have all done these things. If we all come to God with a past, then if we hold on to that past and we don't let it go, we can be hindered by that past for the rest of our lives. And even if we accept the Lord, if we continue to hold on tight to that past, it's going to hinder us. It's going to affect our relationship with God. It's going to affect our relationship with Messiah. God doesn't take away our past. God doesn't undo our past. The past is the past. Don't look for him to magically snap his fingers and it's as if it never happened. It did happen. That's your past. He can't undo it. Well, he could undo it, but he doesn't want to undo it. And so the past, this is the past. We can't change that. But he redeems us from that past. And that should be a big amen for each and every one of us. God has this amazing way of taking our past and making something new out of it. It's still there. But he will use it in his great plan. He will salvage the things that he needs to salvage, and he will use these things to prepare us. He will use these things to refine us. He will use these things to teach us. He will use these things to mold us. So as he is teaching things, these things that we have done in the past, our experiences, can help us. And as we see so often, and I know so many of you have found that to be true, your experiences in the past can help other people that are searching for the truth. You know, if we were all perfect and we didn't have a past, we wouldn't be able to relate to people that might be searching that have a past. But God uses us in that way, that we can come alongside someone and be a counselor to them, a mentor to them. And so God does these things, teaching us and molding us, but he also allows us to be one of his witnesses and we can relate to people because of our past. The grace of God brought the elders to Yiftach. It really was the grace of God. It shouldn't have happened. You know, in the real world, what would have happened? We can only imagine. Somebody says, what about that Yiftach? Ah, there's no way. Are you kidding? He's rebellious. Look what he's done. Look what he did to his poor mother. Look what he's done. Look at how he treats people. He's robbing. He's with a band of hoodlums, and he's with a band of bad people. And we're going to bring him back into our society? It had to only be the grace of God that allowed that to happen. Because God, he dug through all of the rejection that Yiftach had. He dug through all of the garbage, even the original flaw that he had that he couldn't help. He dug through it and he saw something in Yiftach that was worth saving and salvaging. And so his grace, moved the hearts of the elders to come in and give him this offer and allow him to come back into the society, into the congregation of Israel. See, God can do that kind of stuff. He can do it. He wants to do it. Well, you know what? Shaul really had it right when he wrote to the Corinthians. Let's look at, hopefully I have that, 1 Corinthians 1:28. Yay. All right, 1:27 and 1:28. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the lowly things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. Can we figure that out in our minds? No, because in the physical, it makes no sense at all. But only God can do that. He can take the foolish things and make them wise. He can take the weak things and use them for strong things. He can do this with anything. And the wonderful thing is he chooses to do it, not just out there in the world, but he chooses to do it with us and our lives and our scenario, in our story. He chooses to do that. So our past doesn't define us, but God uses it to teach us and to better us and to put us in a spot that he wants us to be, just the way he did it with Yiftach. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and this will be my last scripture this morning. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone, in Messiah, Messiah Yeshua is the key. And it's if anyone. If we accept Yeshua, we repent and we ask forgiveness of our sins from our heart. It's not just lip service. And we do it. Doesn't matter who you are. If anyone is in Messiah, Yeshua is the key. In our lives today, before Yeshua was born, it was a different thing. They needed the animal sacrifices. They needed to come to the Lord. They needed to repent and ask forgiveness, but they had to keep doing those sacrifices. It was, you know, in a way, and I almost hate to use the words, it's easier for us today. You accept Yeshua in your heart, you repent, and you ask God for forgiveness, and that's it. You don't have to bring the animals and slit their throats and the blood all over the place. We don't have to do that anymore. God has made it really, in a way, easier for us to do it. Now, in the physical, is it hard for us to do it inside of us? Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to humble ourselves. It's hard to repent. It's hard to acknowledge our sins. It's just as hard. But the physical stuff is a lot easier. If anyone, Messiah Yeshua is the key. And so the Bible, it presents the good and the bad and the ugly. It does. But it does it for our sake, and it does it for his holy name's sake. It's the best book that we could have in our lives. It's the best book that we could read. And so when we see and it looks like faults and things and discouragement and this and that, let's look deep and look and see what it really is. It's just that God wants to be honest with us, and he wants to be transparent with us. And because he wants us to use that Bible as our manual for living each and every day. And so understand, God has a great plan for each and every one of you, for each and every one of us. We just need to have faith in him. It's the faith that defines us. And God will do great things through each and every one of us. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Praise you, Lord.